So good to have you with us. And we got a lot of great things going on here at the church. Next week, I think we're going to be having a chili cook-off. And for those of you that don't know what that is, we're going to start having a meal on the first Sunday of the month after the service. And so we're going to have a meal together each first Sunday of the month. And so we want to encourage you, if you make chili, to go ahead and make a pot of your best chili. And then we're going to have judges, and we're going to see who has the best chili, and then we're going to just have time to fellowship together, time to eat together. And you may be saying, Pastor, I don't make chili. Well, if you don't make chili, you can make some cornbread, you can make some crackers, you can make something to go along with that. Somebody can buy some crackers, whatever you want to do, and we're looking forward to that. I think we've got a sign-up sheet in the lobby. Do we have that? You can see my wife afterwards if you need to get signed up for that. And we hope that everybody's able to come next week and everybody's able to stay and fellowship with us and have a good time next week. Amen. So if you got your Bibles and you turn to Mark chapter 10, I want to start off because I want to kind of set the stage before I read this. How many of you have seen the new commercial? I believe it's AT&T with the man that's in the hospital bed and his wife standing there next to him, and the nurse comes in and he's getting ready to go in for surgery, and the nurse is talking about the doctor and she goes, yeah, he's okay. And the guy looks at her and he goes, he's okay. And she goes, yeah, he's okay. And then the doctor walks in, and as he's walking in, he goes, guess who just got reinstated? And then everybody looks and he goes, well, not yet technically, but you know, I'm getting there. And the guy's looking like, oh my gosh. And then he goes, the doctor says, are you nervous? And the guy goes, yeah, a little bit. And he goes, yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out when we get in there. All right, see you guys. And he walks out. You know, and when I saw that, I started thinking how funny that is, because nobody wants an okay doctor, right? If you're going in for a surgery or you're going in for a procedure, nobody wants their doctor to be okay. What kind of a doctor do you want? You want a great doctor, right? If you're getting on a plane and you're getting ready to fly across the country, how many of us want an okay pilot? A pilot that when he lands, it's okay. We don't want an okay pilot. We want a great pilot. How many of us, when we take our car to get fixed, we want a mechanic that kind of knows what he's doing? Have you ever taken your car to somebody like that? And then all of a sudden you realize they did not know what they were doing. They were not a great mechanic. They were an okay mechanic. If you're facing criminal charges and you're going to court, who wants an okay attorney? Nobody wants an okay attorney. You want a great attorney. And here's the problem. Most people want great people around them, and most people want to be great, but we want to be great in our own eyes. Let me ask you today, and this is not a trick question. If you have kids, how many of you want to be a great parent? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us want to be a great parent? How many of us today are thinking, how can I be a great boss if you're a boss, or how can I be a great worker if I'm a worker, or if you're a child today or you're a teenager, how can I be a great student? How can I be a great kid for my parents? How can I be great in that area? And this is the same thing that the disciples of Jesus were facing in Jesus's ministry. They desired to be great just like Jesus was great. How many of you know when you see greatness, you want to become that? You want to be like that. And they saw Jesus and they saw the things that he was doing, and they understood that he's getting ready to become great. He's already great, but it's about to get even better. And their desire for greatness was actually even causing division between them and their others. And their definition of greatness was different than Jesus' definition of greatness. So I'm going to read these 10 verses to you in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 45, and I want us to think about their definition of greatness and our definition of greatness, and then Jesus' definition of greatness. Then we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to go through this verse by verse. So if you're ready, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I'm baptized with, you'll be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's pray this morning. Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the next few minutes that we have together as a church. And Lord, I ask you today that our understanding of greatness would be replaced with your definition of greatness. Lord, I pray that every person in this room today would desire to be great, not by the world's standards, but by your standards, God. I pray that each of us would be able to take a moment and reflect upon our own lives as we look at your word today. And Lord, that your word would have its perfect way and its perfect will in our lives. Lord, I pray that your word would change each and every one of us from the inside out, God, that it would make us who you've called us to be, Father. Lord, I pray that we would have realizations, God, of your greatness and your goodness and what it really means to be great in your eyes. And that you would give all of us the desire to humble ourselves before you, God, and to be great like Jesus was great. God, we give you praise for it and we give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. So I'm going to go ahead and just break this down verse by verse. I want to look at verse 35. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What kind of a request is that? Think about it. That's the prayer life of most Christians today. Jesus, I want you to do whatever I ask. Have you ever thought about that? When you look at this, they're going to Jesus and they're basically saying to Jesus, I want you to do for me whatever I ask for you. That's a selfish type of question. It's a selfish request and it's a selfish prayer, and it's the prayer that most of us pray. Most of us, when we go to God, we don't go to God and ask God, what can I do for you? We go to God and we say, this is what you can do for me, God. I'm coming to you today not because of this or that, but because there's something I want you to do for me, right? We go to God and desire that he does for us whatever we ask. We're not looking for him to ask of us, but we want to make demands on him. Many Christians never ask, what can I do for you, Jesus? They say, Jesus, I've got something I want you to do for me today, right? They never ask, what can I do to serve in your kingdom and in your church? Now, I want you to understand what they were doing is they were looking ahead, and they knew that Jesus had come, and they knew and they believed that he was the Messiah, and they were thinking he's getting ready. What the disciples thought was he was at a jump on every establish his kingdom on the earth, and they were coming to him and they were getting a jump on everybody else, saying, listen, when you come into your, so they basically make us, you know, your right hand men, but don't let me get in front of that. So they basically said, their attitude was that Jesus existed to serve them and not that they existed to serve Jesus. And I wonder how many times in my life and how many times in your life and how many times in the church do we look at Jesus as our servant instead of looking at ourselves as his servant? I want you to think about that for a minute. When you come to church, do you come to church to serve God or do you come to church to be served? When you wake up in the morning, do you live your life as a servant at the hands of God, or do you look to God as your servant to do what you would have him do? And many times that's a paradigm shift that needs to take place in our hearts and in our minds for us to understand that God does not exist to serve us, but we actually exist to serve God. That the universe does not revolve around us, but the universe actually revolves around the one who died for us and rose again, and whom the only one is worthy of all glory, honor, power, and praise, and his name is Jesus Christ, and it's not you or me. I want to encourage you this morning, don't be a consumer Christian. Don't be a consumer Christian. Don't be a consumer believer. What is that? You know what a consumer is? It's somebody that all they're worried about is the product that they can receive from an individual or a company. That's a consumer. I'm a consumer of Coke, right? I don't get any money for any Coke or anything. I don't get anything from it. All I do is go to it and consume it and consume it and consume. The church, they're consumers, but they're not servants. Jesus and God are not consumers. They're both servants, and they show that in this scripture right here that we're reading. And if we're supposed to be like Jesus, we're not just going to be consumers that come to get, but we're actually going to become like Jesus, and we're going to be... Verse 36, and he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? This is so funny to me when you think about it, because how many of you know Jesus already knew what they wanted? He already knew what they were going to ask. He already knew that before they even got up that morning, he knew they were coming with that question. And you know why that's so good for us? He already knows what they want for themselves. He already knows it. And Jesus already knows what you want and what I want before we even ask it. That's why the Bible says, listen, when you go to God, he already knows what you have need of before you go to him in prayer. And that should be something that should make us so thankful when we go to pray. Because how many times have you ever tried to explain something to somebody? You tried to explain to them the way that you feel. You try to explain to them the way this is happening, and you just don't have the right words. Has that ever happened to you? That happens to me a lot sometimes, and I try to explain, but this is the way I feel. This is how this is happening. Listen, you will never go to Jesus and he not understand you. He knows you. He understands the way you feel. He understands what you're looking for before you even come to him. And this is an amazing thing. So don't be a person that only asks Jesus for things for yourself and not others or talk to him. So let's look at verse 37. They said to him, so James and John said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. Now, I want you to think about what they were asking for. They asked that they would be granted the best seat in Jesus' kingdom when he is exalted in his glory. They want to share in his future glory. Listen, they're only looking out for themselves and their desire to be known as the greatest disciples. They want to be the greatest disciples. They want to be known as the greatest. In other words, they're saying, we can picture it already, Jesus, you sitting on your throne, and one of us is on the right hand and the other is on the left hand, and everybody else, we don't care where they sit. We just want to be at the right and at the left. Do that for us, Jesus. They weren't thinking about Jesus. They weren't thinking about the other disciples. Listen, in reality, what these guys did is they invented dibs. I got dibs. How many of you say that or you grow up doing that all the time? Hey, I got dibs on the last piece of pizza. I got dibs on the bathroom first when we get home. How many of you have ever called that, right? Not thinking about anybody else. All we're thinking about is ourselves, right? I got shotgun. And that's basically what they were doing. They were going in front of everybody else. They were calling dibs on the best seat. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. What were they asking? They were basically asking the same thing that Lucifer asked in Isaiah 14 when he said, listen, he didn't ask a question. He said, I'm going to sit my throne above the throne of God. And they were going just a step below that, saying, listen, God, we're not even asking that we put our throne above you. We just want our throne to be beside you. We want to sit right beside you. We're not saying we want to be greater than you, but we want to be right there with you. We want to be right in that place. That's the same attitude. They wanted to share God's glory. They wanted to have the same glory that Jesus had, because notice they said, we want to sit at your left hand and your right hand when you come into your glory. And I want to tell you this morning, God does not share his glory with anybody. Jesus does not share his glory with anybody. And the reason being is because nobody is worthy of the glory that God is wants to us. All glory and honor and power and praise belongs to Jesus Christ, and none belongs to us. Amen? And sometimes that's hard for us to understand. When other people look at him, wouldn't say this with our mouths, but we like glory. We like it when other people look at us and we look big in their eyes, or we look great in their eyes. And that's one of the things that we look for. Now let's look at what Jesus says to them in verse 38. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Now, I want you to think about this verse for a moment. They were asking for the closest seats to Jesus, and he said to them, you don't even know what you're asking for. You know how many times we ask God for things and we don't even know what we're asking for? Have you ever done that before and you ask God for something, and then all of a sudden you realize, I didn't even realize what I was asking for. I had no idea what I was asking for. That makes me feel like I need to really look at what I'm asking God for, because maybe, just maybe, that's not mine to even ask. I shouldn't even ask for that. I should just say, God, I want to serve you, and whatever you give, that's what I'm going to take. Whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do, right? I want you to think about how crazy this is. Jesus said, are you able to drink from this cup? And think about this. They didn't even ask what kind of cup. They didn't even ask what was in the cup. If I were to just walk up to you right now and just say, hey, would you like a drink out of this cup? What would the first question you have for me would be? What's in the cup? They didn't even care. They didn't even say anything. They didn't say, well, Jesus, what's in the cup? Do you know what that shows me? That when we get something in our heart and in our mind, we're not even listening to what God is saying. We're so concentrated and focused on getting what we want, we don't even care what he's even saying. They weren't even thinking about what was in the cup. They didn't, from this cup, what was in the cup? The Bible tells us it was the cup of suffering that Jesus drank in the garden. It was the most bitter thing. It was the sin of mankind. It was all these things. It was all this suffering coming down on him. How many of you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus pray when he said to the Father, if it's possible, let what pass from me? Drink. I don't even want to drink it. I don't want to drink this. God, is it possible that I don't have to drink this cup? And he said, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And Jesus drank that cup. He drank that cup of suffering for you and for me so that we could have a way back to God the Father. That's why all the glory belongs to him. That's why he's the only one that's worthy of glory and honor and praise. Amen? And they had no idea. What was this baptism? It was the baptism of suffering, of dying. If you're going to sit following the will of God for doing what God called him to do, and Jesus was saying, listen, if you're going to sit beside me on my right and my left, you're going to have to drink from the same cup, and you're going to have to be baptized with the same baptism that I'm going to be baptized with. And we're going to look at that in the next verse. Let's look at this. Verse 39, they said to him, we are able. Look at that. We are able. They have no idea what they're even saying. Think about it. We're able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I'm baptized with, you will be baptized. And like I said, they didn't even ask what cup it was or what was in the cup. And without even realizing what they were saying, they declared themselves to be able to do what only God can enable someone to do. Jesus assures them that they'll drink the cup and be baptized in this baptism. And I want you to understand, this is a scripture right here that authenticates exactly Jesus was who he says he was. Because if you read church history, what you'll find out is they both did drink from that cup, and they both did die for God. They both followed in his footsteps in those ways. Both of them were killed for their stand and for their stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was telling them, listen, you're going to drink from this cup, and you're going to be baptized with this same baptism. Verse 40. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. What a statement this is when you really think about it and you really read it. Jesus is telling these guys, he said, listen, you don't even know what you're asking, but listen, I'm going to tell you something. You are going to drink from that cup. And you are going to be baptized with that baptism. But for you to sit on my left and right is not even mine to give. It's already been prepared for those people. In other words, before you were even born, it was already prepared who was going to be sitting on my left and right hand. I want you to look at this and understand. It says, but that place has been prepared by God. Did you know today that God has prepared you for what he has called you to do? Every single one of us that is sitting in this room today, the most glorious thing that you can know is God has prepared you to fulfill the call on your life. God has shaped you. He's created you. He's molded you with things that other people don't have. There are some people here that have the gift of speaking to other people, and others of you don't have that at all. And sometimes we can look at that and we can say, well, because I don't have that, I'm not even going to be used by God. I don't have anything to offer God. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And if we're not careful, we have a beautiful voice to sing. Others of us do not have a beautiful voice to sing. And if we're not careful, we'll look at that and we'll say, well, I could never tell you, God prepare me a worshiper because I don't have the voice that so-and-so does. But let me explain something to you. God prepared you for a specific thing. God prepared you with good works in mind before you were ever born. That's one of my favorite verses. It says that he created us for good works before the world was even created. God thought about you and prepared good works that you should walk in. And here's what we can learn from this verse. We don't get to choose our role or our seat at the table. And sometimes that makes us mad, doesn't it? Because there's something inside of us that has a desire to be great. How many of you ever, I wasn't even going to talk about this, but how many of you have heard the story of Rudy in Notre Dame? I know Kelly has because he's a huge Notre Dame fan. I had to bring that up. But I heard a pastor talk about this one time and it made so much sense. If you don't know the story of Rudy, he was an average football player. Was not a good student, I'm not going to go through his whole story, but he was not a good student. He didn't make the grades to get into Notre Dame. He had a dream to play football there. He wasn't good enough to play football at Notre Dame, didn't have the grades to get in, but he kept studying and studying and studying, and finally he made it into Notre Dame. He tried out for the football team, and he was terrible. He was not a good football player, but he had so much desire to play football at Notre Dame that he just killed himself, and he just kept trying until they finally felt sorry for him, and they were like, listen, this guy, just let him be on the practice squad. For heaven's sake, he tries harder than anybody. And for 4 years, Rudy tried as hard as he could. He practiced, got killed, got tore up. It was horrible. And then in his senior season, the last game of the season, they let him in for a few seconds in the fourth quarter when the game was meaningless, didn't even matter, and he scrambles out, makes a quarterback sack, and he gets carried off the field, and he's remembered forever in Notre Dame lore. I mean, even to this day, people still talk about Rudy. He's a motivational speaker. If you watch the movie, it'll make you cry. It really will, if you have a heart. It'll make you cry because it's an amazing story. And I heard a preacher one time talking about this, and it actually made me mad when I first heard him say that, because I thought, I love Rudy. I love the story. And he said, listen, imagine if Rudy had taken that same tenacity and that same drive and that same work ethic and all those things and put it toward what he was actually created to do. What would he have become? He wasn't even a good football player. He played 20 seconds in one game, and we celebrate him like he's the greatest thing ever. Some of us are the greatness that he was after, and I want to think about this, and I want you to think about this. Some of us are spending our whole lives clawing and trying to do something that we're not even called to do and we're not even created to do, and God didn't even call you to do. And if we could just get 20 seconds on that field, we would raise our hands and think we had done everything. But at the end, when everything is laid out and laid bare and you can look and see, people are going to look back and say, man, I wasted my life chasing that, trying to get something that God never called me to do. Some people waste a lot of time trying to force their way into things that God hasn't designed for them. And I want to encourage you today that God has gifted you and designed you for certain things. And it would be better for you to seek God about the call and dream that he has for your life instead of seeking greatness in something that you desire to be great in. Because at the end of your life, what's going to really matter and what's going to really make a difference is, did you do what God called you to do? That's what's going to separate greatness. You can be all kinds of successful at doing a million different things, but if that's not what God called you to do, you're not going to be great. There's going to be no greatness in that. If you fulfill God's will and plan for your life, that'll be true greatness. Let me just read this. I don't have this on the screen, but I want to read to you in Revelation 3:21 really quick. Jesus is talking to the churches, and he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sit down with my Father on his throne. Guess what? Jesus is saying this. If you're an overcomer and you overcome yourself and you overcome the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to have you sit on my left hand and on my right hand. You're actually going to sit on my throne with me. And that's for anyone who overcomes. Think about how beautiful that is. Think about how amazing that is. If you follow God's will for your life and you follow God's plan for your life and you overcome the world and you overcome sin and you overcome your selfishness that we're getting ready to look at, you're not going to sit on his left or on his right, but you're actually going to be on the throne with him. Is that not an amazing thing? That is prepared for those who overcome. Let's look at verse 41. Uh-oh. Now we're getting to the other 10 disciples. And when the 10 heard it, can you hear the rumor, the anger? When the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. I think that's a New King James Version way to say they were ticked off, right? They were upset. They were angry. They were mad. Why were they mad? Because James and John were seeking the best spots and the others were angry. Why? Because they thought they deserved those spots, right? That's exactly why they got mad. Do you get mad when others are seeking to get a promotion around you? Do you get mad when other people get lifted up around you? I remember one time when we lived in Italy, and I used to go and preach for this one house, and when we would have meals after the longest time, I would be in their house, and we would be having meals, and I could never understand it for the longest time. I got along with everybody in his family and everybody at the church. It was so great, but his son-in-law just had a problem with me. And it was like every time I would say something, he would just kind of be snarky. And, you know, it took me a while to realize what was going on. And what I realized was that when we sat down to eat, for Italians, there's places at the table. Where I grew up, if you got to the table, you were happy. You know what I'm saying? You want to have a place at the table as long as you give me something to eat. I don't care where I sit. But what happened was the pastor would sit at the head of the table, and then he put me at his right hand, and he would always make sure that I sat there. And I would be like, okay, fine. And then his son-in-law would sit to the right of me. And after about 3 or 4 times of this happening, I finally realized the reason he's mad is because I'm sitting in his seat. I'm in his place. And he's not happy that I'm sitting in his place. I could care less if I'm at the other end of the table as long as I get some lasagna. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter to me. But for him, it was very upsetting. See, he was looking at me as a threat because I was getting what he wanted. And there are many times as Christians that we look at other people as a threat and we don't want them to have something because we want that. And that's exactly what was happening here with the disciples. When James and John went secretly to Jesus, can you hear the other disciples? Y'all gonna go behind our back and take Jesus out over here and ask him, y'all got the audacity to ask Jesus if he would grant you to sit on his left and right. What about us, Ben? That's exactly what they're thinking. We've done everything you've done. We've been everywhere that you've been. What gives you the right to sit on the left and what gives you the right to sit on the right? Why do you think you get to do that? I remember a time in my life when I'd only been saved for a couple of years, and I remember I was at River of Life and I was serving. I was doing all kinds of stuff in Jacksonville. We were working hard. We were serving in the church, and I was an usher. And when we made some changes to the ushers, we had one big usher team is what we had. But then James Jackson's dad was actually the captain of the usher back there in the back. He was the captain of the usher team. And what he did was he actually made 2 teams, and he made captains of those teams. Now, I had been serving just as long as any of those ushers had and had been serving as hard as they had in my mind, right? And all of a sudden, I come in and find out that now we have 2 usher teams and we have 2 new captains, and my brother-in-law is one, and my best friend, past 10 disciples, who wasn't a pastor at the time, is the other one. And I'm going to tell you, I felt just about like those other 10 disciples when I found that out. I was upset, thinking in my head, walking away, and I remember looking at everybody like, oh, that's great, you know. And then I remember just thinking in my head, why? I've served just as hard as they have. I've done everything that they have. I have been here. I've opened the doors. I've closed the doors. I have been on call anytime I've been needed. Why is it that those 2 got to lead a team and I got left out? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart. And he began to show me what was really in me, and why I was serving is because I was serving because I wanted to be one of those captains, because I wanted people to come in and look at me and say, oh, Usher Captain James, right? And when I realized that, I saw how bad my heart was, and I began to repent and ask God to forgive me, and I had to suck it up, and I had to just say, God, I'm going to serve these guys, and I'm going to do whatever they ask me to do, whatever they tell me to do, and I'm going to do it with a good attitude. And I wish I could tell you I always did it with the right heart, but I had to deal with myself, and God began to deal with me in that. And this was the same type of thing that was going on with these guys. So I want to ask you today, how is your attitude when other people get what you think you deserve? Are you happy for them? Are you able to rejoice with them? Are you able to say, man, I'm so glad that you got promoted. I'm so glad that you got that new car. I'm so glad that you know, man, this is happening. I'm so glad that this is going on in your life. Or are you like the 10 disciples? Verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and he said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Jesus is looking at him and he's saying, listen, you know how greatness is displayed in the world. You get promoted, and the reason you want to get promoted is so that you don't have to go get the coffee anymore. The reason you want to get promoted is so that you will have something in front of your name that distinguishes you above everybody else. The reason people want to get promoted is because they want to have power and they want to have prestige and they want to be great in the eyes of other people. And Jesus is saying, listen, when you get promoted to greatness and you use that position to make others do what you want them to do, that's not greatness at all. He's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to turn their world upside down. As a matter of fact, Jesus in the next verse is getting ready to introduce the godly definition of what greatness really is. And greatness is not being promoted and using the position and the power of greatness for yourself, but it's actually using that for other people. And we're getting ready to look at it. Let's look at verse 43. Jesus said, yet it shall not be so among you. In other words, the way you see leadership in the world is not going to be the way it is in the kingdom of God. The way you see leadership, the way every leader that you've looked at, I'm about to turn all of that upside down. I'm about to change the whole dynamic of this thing, is what Jesus was saying. My disciples... He says, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Jesus was saying, my disciples won't use their position to have others serve them and their dreams, because that's what the world does, right? That's what the world does. We become great. We climb the ladder. We get to that place and we get to that position so that we can tell other people what to do, right? So that we can actually have servants. And that's the way of the world. Jesus is saying, my disciples are going to use their position and influence to serve others. Listen to this. If you don't hear anything else I say today, true greatness is becoming a servant to others, not using them to fulfill your agenda. That's what Jesus is saying here in a nutshell. You want to know what greatness looks like? That's what Jesus is saying. Anyone that desires to become great shall become your servant. If you're looking to be great, serve. That's what Jesus is saying. I got a question for you today. Are you serving others today? Are you serving others today, or are you seeking to use others to become great in your own eyes? If you want to be great, just look around you right now, because there's opportunities to become a servant everywhere that you go. A lot of people want to lead something, right? I want to be the leader of this. Just like me, I wanted to be the leader of that usher team. That's what I wanted, because I wanted the prestige of being the leader. And I had no idea that I actually could lead that team without being the leader. And do you know how you do that? You serve everybody. You begin to serve like Jesus served. You begin to find out, how can I make a difference in the lives of these people? And as you make a difference in the lives of others and you begin to serve others, you actually become great. It's an amazing thing. It's different. So let me ask you, how can you serve your family today? How can you be great in your own family? You can start by serving them. How can you serve your family? You know the things that your family likes. Start by serving. How can you serve your boss today? There are people today, right now, I've talked to people a lot of times that want a promotion, but they don't want to serve. They want a promotion and they're mad at their boss and they're mad at their company and they're mad at this and they're mad at that. But the problem is that they want to be great. They don't want to be a servant. And I'm just telling you right now, Jesus is saying for Christians, for believers, the way up is actually down. The way to get promoted is to humble yourself. The way to get exalted is to put yourself under the hand of the Almighty God. And he said, in due season, I will lift you up. And I'm going to tell you right now, when God lifts you up, nobody can put you down. When God exalts a person, nobody can put them down. When God decides, did you know that promotion comes from the Lord? A lot of people say, I don't understand why that person got promoted and I didn't. Do you know why? Because it wasn't your time. Promotion doesn't come from your boss. Promotion doesn't even come from the Marine Corps. Promotion doesn't come from any branch of the service. Your promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the north, south, east, and the west. And I can tell you right now, when your ways please God, you're going to be lifted up. You're going to be exalted because God knows He's found someone that He can trust that's not going to be in it for themselves, but they're going to use what they've been given to serve others. Verse 44, this is amazing. This verse is so crazy. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For some people, being great is not enough. Have you ever wanted to be first at something? Nobody wants to raise their hand now. Every single one of us. I remember racing on the playground, and I had a friend named Reuben when I was like in elementary school. And I'm going to tell you right now, he was the fastest kid in our school by far. There was nobody that he could even come close to him. And I wanted to be first so bad. I wanted to beat Reuben so bad. And Reuben could outrun me backwards. That's how fast he was. I'm not even kidding with you. He was ridiculously fast. And then I realized, okay, I'm not going to be first at running. So now I got to find something else, right? So then I want to go do something else. And I want to go. And that's what we do. And that's how we spend our lives, is we want to be first. If we'll be honest, we don't want to just be great. We want to be first. I want to be the best. I don't want to be great. I want to be first at something. I want to be first at this. We all want to be first in something. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to be first, do you know how you're going to be first? You'll be a slave to all. I want you to look at the progression in this, all right? Do you see the progression in those last two verses? Jesus said, listen, the secret to greatness, if you want to be great in God's eyes, you have to become what? A servant. If you want to be great, become a servant. If you want to be first, what do you have to do? You have to be a slave. Wow, that is crazy talk. That's crazy thinking. It's so contrary to our human nature. It's so contrary to any human logic that if I want to be great, I have to serve everybody. If I want to be first, I have to be a slave to everybody. Now, I've been praying about that and thinking about that. What's the principal difference between servants and slaves? There's a lot of differences, but the biggest one that I can think of is a servant serves but can quit anytime he gets ready to. Think about it. A servant can quit anytime they desire because they're a servant. They're paid. They're serving for pay. They're serving for whatever. But a slave has given up his right to quit. A servant has rights. A slave has none. And so Jesus is actually saying this to us today. He's saying, if you want to be great, be a servant to everybody. Serve. Serve everybody that you meet. If you want to be first, become a slave and give up your rights for other people's rights and for my rights. And when you do that, you're not just going to be great, but you're going to be first. And it's so crazy and it's so counterintuitive to us that we can read this passage of Scripture and not even understand what it's saying. We can be just like the disciples and think that we can do this or think that we can do that. And the difference in a slave is a slave is at the behest of his master. A slave is at the beck and call of his master. In other words, a slave has said, listen, I give up my rights. I give up my identity. I give up everything. And I come to you, Jesus, and I say, listen, whatever you say, God, whatever you ask me to do, God, if a person needs me, I'm going to be there. If you're calling me to do this, I'm going to go. I'm going to do this. Listen to this in Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And if you give up your life and become subject to God's will, you're actually going to be first in God's eyes. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Now let's look at verse 45. It says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I got a question for you. Was Jesus great or was he first? Which one? Anybody? He was first, right? There's so many places in the Bible where it says he's the firstborn among many brethren. He must have preeminence in Colossians, which means first place. Now, I want you to think about how amazing this is. The Son of Man, he didn't choose to call himself the Son of God here. He called himself the Son of Man. What was he saying? I'm coming as your servant. I'm the Son of Man. I'm not talking to you as the Son of God. I'm talking to you as the Son of Man because I've laid that title aside and I'm coming as the Son of Man. I am actually God in the flesh, but I'm coming to you as the Son of Man. And I'm telling you, I did not come from heaven to be served, but I came from heaven to serve you and to give my life as a ransom for many. In other words, Jesus became our servant and Jesus became slave because he became obedient to even the death of the cross. Now I want you to understand, Jesus is not calling us to do anything that he's not already done and shown us how to do. Think about the implications of this and how amazing this is. Jesus shows us the way to greatness in the kingdom is by him being the king that didn't come to be served but to serve. Now when I ask you this morning, how does Jesus' definition of greatness affect you today? How does it affect your life today? Is it different from your definition of greatness? It's surely different than the definition of greatness for the world. Now I want to encourage each and every one of us today to be great. That's the title of this message today, be great. And if you're going to be great, how are you going to do that? By serving other people, by serving God. If you want to be great, you're going to have to serve. Now I want to ask you, where can you serve God right now? Where can you serve God right now? Many times we are looking to do the great thing, not realizing that the small thing done with the love of God actually becomes the great thing. It actually is what makes us great. Many times we're saying, God, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. But nobody's saying, I'd like to clean the bathroom. I could clean the bathroom. Or there are some people that are doing that, but not many. Most people want a microphone, or most people want to be on TV, or most people want to be on the radio, or they want to be in the spotlight. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to be really great, it's not about who gets to play what position. It's about understanding who you are in Christ and what you've been prepared to do and being willing to lay down yourself and your desires so that he could be glorified and he could be magnified. And you do that by using the gifts he's given you to serve others. Does that make sense today? So I'm asking you today to think about this. If you're a part of the church, you should serve in the church. There shouldn't be anybody that comes that doesn't serve somewhere. But I'm talking about even at your home. I'm talking about how can you serve in your home? How can you serve in your community? How can you serve in the city that you live in or in the workplace that you live in? How can you take the gifts that God has given you and glorify God's own glory? Because when the church begins to do that, people take notice and they say, man, there's something different about you. You're not just wanting to get promoted. You're not just wanting to be first, but you're actually using everything that you have to be a blessing and a benefit to other people. It's an amazing thing. And I don't want to just encourage you to be great today. I want to encourage you to be first today. I want to encourage you to be first today. What does that look like in God's eyes? He said, if you want to be first, become a slave to all. And if I understand what that means, it means I need to give up my rights. I need to give up my rights so that Jesus can have full control and full reign of my life. Now, when I ask you today, what is it that you're holding back from him? What is it that you're saying, no, this, I have a right to this? Have you ever said that before? I know all of us have. No, I've got a right to this. I've got a right to be angry about this. I've got a right to hold this unforgiveness. I've got a right to act the way that I do. I've got a right to expect this. I've got a right to do all these things. And the truth is, you absolutely do. But you can choose by your own volition and by your own will to lay that down as a sacrifice at the feet of Jesus and say, God, even though I have a right to do this, I'm going to forfeit that right. I'm going to lay that right down because I want others to be blessed and I want God to be glorified. And when you do that, the Bible says you actually become first. It's an amazing thing. What would your family look like if you became great and first according to Jesus? What would your workplace look like if you became great and became a servant everywhere? What would our town look like? What would everything look like around us if we did that? And I want to encourage you today. I believe God is calling each and every one of us to be people of greatness and to be people that are first. The first to forgive. The first to love. The first to lend a hand. The first to be the one that to help out when help is needed. And I believe that when we do that, we're not doing that for us to be glorified, but we're doing that for God to be glorified. And God is glorified. Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And if he's our Savior, how can we not follow him and do the same? I thank you. Would you pray with me? Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for touching each and every one of us today. God, I thank you for everyone that's listening right now. And Lord, we just ask you right now that your grace would move in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray for families right now. I pray for fathers and husbands right now that they would be great in their homes. I pray for mothers right now that they would be great in their homes, that they would serve God. I pray for children right now that they would be great, or that they would see that greatness is not being served, but it's being a servant, because Jesus did not come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Lord, I pray right now today that you would touch each and every one of us, and Lord, that this church would be known as a great church, not because of how many people we have or how great the building looks or how full the parking lot is or how much money we have, but God, that we would be a church that's great because we serve each other and we serve the community and we serve God and we put him first. Lord, I thank you for that. I give you praise for that, and I pray your blessing upon each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Kelly?
All right, thanks, Pastor. You know, with that Rudy story, I'm almost thinking that you're converting from Auburn to Notre Dame. I don't know, but that's the sense I'm getting from that message. Well, good morning, River of Life. Just got a few announcements to go over. First of all, if you're giving this morning and you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand. And Brian or one of the ushers will be by to give you an envelope to put your offering in. And just want to thank you, each one of you. Now a lot of us do it online, and so thank you for your faithful giving to the ministry. It's going to things that's helping improve the building and the things that we're doing for the outreach. So we really want to thank you for that. So first of all, next week we've got the chili cook-off. I think we have announcements October 6th. If you're interested in participating in the cook-off and you want to, if you have a chili or a recipe that you want to bring, please see Miss Crystal at the end of the service. Also, it doesn't have to be chili. You can bring a dessert and crackers or a side that goes with that. We encourage you to participate. So that's going to be immediately after service on October 6th. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you can come, not bring anything, but you can still eat. We'll let you do that. I think that's what Pastor's saying. No, but we want to encourage you. It's going to be a lot of fun. Next week, October 6th, this Tuesday, we have the Art of Parenting class. We had our first one last week. It was a really good session. It's not too late to sign up. Go to River of Life. Go to our website, or you can see me after service. And it meets at Tuesday at 7 p.m., and we encourage anyone who has children to come out. Can be young and old, doesn't really matter. But we want to just encourage you to come out. And also, we're not doing the every Wednesday Bible study, but we are doing the first Wednesday of the month. And so this Wednesday will be October 2nd, I believe. Is that correct? And so we do have Wednesday service this Wednesday. All right, so for October, just kind of looking ahead, we have the Fall Festival. That's October 19th. How many here were last year there participating in the Fall Festival? Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we do it. That's here downtown Dumfries. This is an event that Dumfries holds every year. I think we have a district give out candy. We have balloons. I think we had games last year. It was a lot of fun. It was another way to district give outreach to the community, to be able to hand out invitations, just to be able to pray for those who need prayer, and just to be encouragement to the community. So if you are interested in coming out either to the festival or to help serve, as Pastor's message was about, we have a sign-up sheet in the back on the table. There are different time slots, so we just encourage you to put your name down for what slot you want to be part of, and then Once we get that list, someone will be in contact with you, and then they'll do a coordination on, you know, how that day's going to, you know, when it's set up and what you need to do or be a part of. Okay. Amen? And so also, October 6th, I forgot to mention, we do have a baby dedication. Baby Max is getting dedicated. And so, and this is for anyone. If you have, if you're interested in, you know, having your baby dedicated, please see Ms. Crystal after after service, because there's some information that she would need to give to you to be a part of that. So we're excited about that next week. And then also, if you, next month, we didn't do it this month just because a lot was going on, but next month we have the Next Steps class. The Next Steps is our way of giving more information about the church, who we're about. Also, if you're interested in church membership, being a part of the church, we have three Sundays that we're going to meet next month. That's going to start October 13th, the second week of October. And for our outreach of October, we have Socktober, that's collecting socks and hygiene gear for the community. Miss Deb, if you just raise your hand, we are collecting every Sunday for the month of October. You can bring them in to the table or see Miss Deb. That we're looking for new socks, just want to clarify that, hygiene gear, and this is what we're going to do and give to the local homeless shelters. So if you have any questions about that, you can see Miss Deb, or you can go online, and there's more information about that as well. I think lastly, before I close, I just want to encourage you, and you know, I think this message was good about serving and what it takes, and Pastor mentioned, you know, if you come to River of Life, we really encourage you to participate, to be a part of our outreaches, be a part of a ministry team. We have different areas, and usually just requires one Sunday a month. Generally, in the service that you come, it's generally that day. But there's not a whole lot of commitment to it. But it's a lot of fun because it's another way to get connected. A lot of times when we go to churches, we don't feel connected. This is because we don't get connected. And you have to really insert yourself. I mean, I think that's in anywhere, whether it's in your job, in your neighborhood. If you don't ever go out, you're never going to be able to connect and meet your neighbors if you don't actually do that yourself. And sometimes it takes the initiative on your part to do that. And so I just really want to encourage you to, if you're interested in being part of a Connect team or part of a team within the church, fill out the Connect card, add a note on there. You go online, you can sign up, or you can see the pastors or see myself or any of the ministry leaders after service, and we can tell you how you can get involved. Again, it's a small commitment, but, you know, it's really about the kingdom of God and serving people, really what the message was about this morning. Amen? Well, that's all the announcements I have, so why don't you stand with me before we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just come boldly before your throne, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your mercies and grace, Lord. We just bless your people, Father, as they go on their way, Father, Lord, throughout the week. Be with them and all that they do. And we just bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.